listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Michael Kelly.
Good evening, everyone. Happy to be here. Sorry about the technical difficulties we're having tonight, having a little connection issue, but we are all good now.
Good. And just a note, Dr. Hunter is on vacation, so she's not with us tonight. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. Basically, our church and our schools are all about education, and that's why we do this program. That's why we have the schools and other programs. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief to kind of set the tone. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the extended and expanded version of these on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So it's good to be back on the program tonight. We've got a bunch of folks in the chat room. Welcome to all of you, and welcome to those listening to the archive, too. Hopefully the sound is all working good, and we'll get on track. So tonight, the topic that we're going to discuss is one we've discussed in the past, but we're going to discuss it. It's kind of a special program tonight. The dangers of them esteem is the topic, and we're going to have a little bit of a different program tonight. I'm going to talk about the dangers of them esteem. Michael's going to discuss it as well. And then we're going to call it a night. We're going to forego the card reading, the inner oracle card readings for tonight. And then next week when Dr. Hunter's back, those will resume. And so if you're looking for a card tonight, just hang tough and we'll do that next week. So I'm seeing in the chat room that the sound is cutting in and out. Hopefully it will balance out and stabilize. So I'm just going to continue on. And as if it was working fine. So anyway, to get our discussion started off, I'd like to read from the inner oracle card number two, this esteem and validation. I'd like to read from the guidebook about that just to start us off. It reads, self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation. It's not to be confused with them esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. That is what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you can give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. Now that is, in a nutshell, what we're going to talk about tonight. What I'd like to do is bounce this card against another one. So Michael has pulled a random card just to see how it influences this card. Michael, you want to tell us which card you pulled and then read that from the guidebook?
Well, you know, I think this is a very interesting one to land on. And I pulled wild card number nine, blank.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
That is interesting. Go ahead and read the guidebook on that.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Huh. All right, so my takeaway from this, this is just my takeaway, is that this counter card is blank. And so basically that's telling me we're going to discuss this card on this topic of them esteem just as it is right here now. So let's talk about them esteem. As I mentioned and read from the guidebook, them esteem is simply external expectations and external validation. It's a contrast with self-esteem, which is internal expectations and internal validation. So in practical terms, them esteem means that you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what somebody else thinks you should do. Self-esteem means you feel good about yourself when you're doing what you think you should do. And there's a big difference. Them esteem is commonly referred to as low self-esteem. But we call it them esteem because that's really what it is. People who we would normally think of with low self-esteem, they only feel good about themselves when they're doing what other people think they should do. And that can be, oh gosh, anyone. It can be religion. Religion's a big one. That's religion's a big one. A job, parents, friends, you know, there's social circles. That's where peer pressure comes from. Peer pressure is part of them esteem. And obviously we know the dangers of peer pressure, especially for kids in school. And so there's dangers there because how many kids, I mean, I remember this from being in high school. How many kids do things because they're dared to do them? You know, they feel like they have to do them to fit in. I mean, that happens all the time. That's them esteem. Peer pressure is them esteem. It's not healthy. And that's why we want to be teaching our children self-esteem, the traits of self-esteem. And that is internal expectations and validation. In other words, I get validated by what I think I should do, and I do that. You know what? If it doesn't fit with me and what I want to do, then I'm not going to go there. And it doesn't matter whether they accept me or not. You know, that's where self-completeness comes in. You stand on your own two feet. You know, I know who I am and I know why I am who I am. And if people don't accept me, then that's their stuff, not my stuff. That's standing on your own two feet. That's self-esteem. That's not them esteem. But as the title of this program tonight, The Dangers of Them Esteem, really points out, there's a lot of different things that can be dangerous to us, to our mental and spiritual health. We talked about peer pressure. Think about honor killings in some of the Middle East countries. Think about that. Honor killings. I mean, is there even a worse example of them esteem? I'm having a hard time coming up with the worst example. That's the worst example of them esteem I can think of. You know, you feel like somebody has, you know, harmed your honor, so you have to kill them to regain your honor. Honestly, it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. It's stupid. And yet they do it all the time. People die because of them esteem. Talk about the dangers of them esteem. And that's just a huge one. Them esteem is especially intense with the Abrahamic religions. You know, Christianity, Judaism, Islam. Because, I mean, in the very fabric of those Abrahamic religions, the Bible, you know, the sacred books, it's all about pleasing God, right? And you don't feel good about yourself unless you please God. And there's the fear of displeasing God. You know, we have to fear God. And, of course, the religions say, well, it's a fear of displeasing him. Well, you know, if we're made with free will and we're sentient creatures, what's up with that? Why do we have to fear displeasing God? You know, that's them esteem. That's them esteem. So we want to be careful about what we take on in terms of them esteem. Michael, do you have anything you wanted to add to that at this point?
Just, you know, I think the great points, especially, you know, early on, it's kind of picking up in chat too about honor killing. The concept is so utterly absurd, but that's what, you know, them esteem. That's what putting too much faith into the group think, into not thinking from yourself and your individuality. That's what that comes to.
It does. That's another good thing, you know, group think. You know, that's them esteem. You know, I feel good when the group thinks I'm doing it right, you know, or I'm, I mean, you can see them esteem and the political sides that are taken, the different political conventions, the different, you know, the different sides, the different, what do you call them, buddy? I'm just drawing a blank, you know, there's the Democrats, there's the Republicans, the parties. Parties, yeah. I would just, you know, that's what happens to me these days, I guess. I can't think of the word. Anyway, but the different parties and their different, you know, the different sports teams and different things like that, you can find them esteem everywhere. And it's not a healthy thing. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy camaraderie and being part of a social group. That's not what it means. It just means that we can't allow those groups, that group think, that peer pressure, that religious indoctrination, to cause us to do things that are unhealthy, that we shouldn't do. You know, and religion's terrible about that, about making you feel unworthy. You're never quite good enough, right? You gotta beg God to get into heaven. And you know, if you sin, boy, you're gonna go to hell. I mean, come on. I mean, religion is set up to just absolutely decimate a person's self-concept. We need to outgrow that, folks. We need to get past that stuff. It is not healthy. And so we need to make sure that we are walking on our own 2 feet, walking our path, and not succumbing to unhealthy things that people want us to do. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell about the dangers of them esteem. It's everywhere. Start looking for it. If you're not already, start looking and being aware of when it can come into play and when it comes into play in your life. You know, make sure that you're walking your own path, that you're basing your own self-worth on you, not comparing yourself to others. That's another bad thing to do that will kill your self-concept. And making sure that you're finding that fulfillment and that joy in just being who you are. You know, it's time to fall in love with yourself for a change, right? It's a time to be confident in yourself. And that leads us to another point that I want to make, too, that was made in the guidebook on the inner oracle cards. Self-esteem and self-confidence are not the same thing. A lot of people think they are, but they're not. You know, years ago, gosh, it's been back in 2006, I believe, 2006, when I was writing the, it's actually probably before that, when I was writing Empowered Recovery. You know, a lot of my work over the last 20 years has been in the area of alcoholic relationships, addictive relationships. And about 20 years ago, I started Empowered Recovery back in 2001, 19 years ago already. Can't believe the time's passed. And I began writing the book on Empowered, you know, Alcoholic Relationship Survival Guide. And I finally finished it in 2006, and it was a book that I started, and of course a lot of input from Tracy, my wife, and comparing notes and working out details. And she's actually the one that came up with the term them esteem, and I'll tell you how that came about. I remember we were sitting outside on the patio one day, and I couldn't understand. I'd always been a confident person, and yet I had found myself in an alcoholic marriage prior to Tracy and I getting together. And it was devastating, you know, to both myself and Michael. And I couldn't understand why I stayed in that. I, you know, always thought my self-esteem was good. I always thought my confidence was good. And yet here this happened to me, and I wouldn't let it go. It took a while to correct that. And I couldn't understand it. And it finally dawned on me that self-confidence and self-esteem are not the same thing. I didn't have self-esteem, even though I was confident. I had them esteem, and that's where Tracy gave us, you know, we were talking about it. She said, it's them esteem. And I said, you're absolutely right. It was them esteem. The reason I stayed in that relationship is because of the Bible, because of the religion I was in. God hates a divorcing, blah, blah, blah. And yet that marriage was killing us, literally killing us. And I had them esteem. I had to do what they thought was right, not what I thought was right. And finally, I gave it all up. And I said, heck with this. We're gonna fix this. We're leaving this relationship. And I took Michael and we left. And that's that. And then life started getting better. It was slow, but it started getting better. And that's where we came up with this term, them esteem. You can be self-confident, but still have them esteem. I mean, you can see that in actors and actresses on the big screen on TV. And so think about that, you know. Any other points you want to add, Michael?
Yeah, just that, you know, as I like to tie a lot of things back to, it's about balance in that you have to, we're all functioning members of society, and we do have input from other people that we take and we consider, you know, thoughtful ideas and solicited, you know, suggestions and criticisms in a healthy way. I'm trying to use that word in a more clinical, not a negative fashion. But yes, individuality, thinking for yourself, and just because something's popular doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's wrong either. The world is a complicated one that we live in, and we have to be able to think in complicated terms. But, you know, I think back to that time, and I think that you're exactly right, because it wasn't about confidence. It was about that social group and the demands that group put on you. And them esteem is just a great way to encapsulate that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I remember that back in the, you know, I don't want to lose my family. I mean, you know, I was also an elder in the church, and that brought me a lot of meaning. You know, I enjoyed doing that and helping people that way. And if I was to divorce or to leave my wife, well, that's gone out, you know, down the toilet. That's gone. No, you can't do that. You can't be an elder and be a divorce, you know, divorce your wife. Anyway, and I remember, you know, and my whole family was all involved in it, you know, in the religion. And it's like, you don't just do that, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure just from family and all the friends. I mean, it was the only thing I ever knew. My whole world view was wrapped up in Jehovah's Witnesses, you know.
Well, I remember one of the earliest things that my grandmother told me, you know, Grandma Kelly, your mom, is that I was a fifth generation Jehovah's Witness, and how proud she was of that. That's just a little window, a little insight into how much, you know, familial pressure there was.
Well, there was, you know, I was fortunate, and that stuff's unheard of with Jehovah's Witnesses, because they haven't been around, you know, they've been around a little over 100 years now, but that's saying something. And it's not like Catholics, you know, you can have, you know, 20 generations, right? Not with the Witnesses. So that was a point of pride. And my folks had been missionaries. I was almost born in Japan. So they were very involved, you know, and there was all of that pressure, you know, that you got some, how do you put it? We had some kind of recognizability. I mean, we had some standing in the church, right? And you just don't do that. What will people say? You know, and it finally got to a point where I had to let it all go. And I did, you know, and in the process, I lost pretty much everybody I ever knew. My brother, my sister, my folks, of course, they're both passed away now. My aunts, uncles, cousins, all of them, you know, except for two cousins that had left prior to me. And that's it. They're all gone. There's really no, hardly anybody at all, save one friend who had left as well. Everybody else that I knew at that time, gone. They're out of my life. You know, they've essentially disowned me because I don't believe like them anymore. And that's fine. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter anymore, because I know who I am, and I'm not going to be held, you know, I'm not going to be blackmailed into believing the same way, because I've outgrown it. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. And in outgrowing it, I learned to stand on my own two feet, to not, quote, need, unquote, anything or anyone else to fulfill me. I don't need that. I fulfill me. I do my thing, and I try to do as good as I can. I try to help as many people as I can, and I have. I've helped a ton of people and continue to do so with the school, with the church, and in other ways. So,
well, I'd also say that, you know, thinking back on it, again, to the comments of you felt like you were a confident person and you don't understand why you stayed in the relationship, I might submit to you that a less confident person probably would have for the remainder of their lives.
Oh, yeah, they do, a lot of them.
It takes a type to break a mold, but I also, you know, recognize that there are elements that you miss, though, from those kind of social groups. So it's such a gratifying thing and such a meaningful thing that we can participate in building this community, to try to build a community, because that is something that we as the human animal we need. And yep. It's a beneficial thing. And, you know, when you say that these people, very important people, and yours and our, really, lives, you know, these took these actions and it doesn't matter. Well, it can't matter for us any longer, because as individuals, we have to move on with life. Yep. And we have to, it's their decision, they made it, we move on. But as a principle, as a philosophical principle, it very much does matter. And we need a community of people that do not behave in such an ignorant and backward way, where yeah. we can have that that feeling of camaraderie, that joining of minds, that exploration of curiosity, which is something that we promote, not tamp down on. That's why people are, quote-unquote, disfellowshipped, excommunicated, cast out, that, you know, wherein I, and just to give you another window into a bit of the lore, I was never baptized. So I was never, you know, quote-unquote, official. That's why I could never be excommunicated. It's kind of a nice little loophole. But what it also means is that I can have discussions, and I have challenged people in my life about why they took this foolish action. And they say it's to preserve the faith in a matter, and I'm paraphrasing heavily, but it's essentially to avoid letting other problematic ideas in. And they basically say it almost in that way.
Well,
so,
the reason that they excommunicate is to keep people away from people like me, because I am considered an apostate, a heretic, from them.
And
especially now they've started a church.
Well, that's the worst thing you could have done.
Oh, but that's the worst thing, yeah.
But, I mean, the threat is that you might sway people with ideas.
Yes.
I mean,
independent thinking.
And that's
independent thinking.
Exactly.
That's what they talk about all the time.
But,
and see, that's where metaphysical humanism is different. And that's why, and I've said it many times, and I continue to say it, that metaphysical humanism is the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet, because we don't worship anyone. It's way ahead of its time. You know, I'd be a terrible cult leader with this, because, you know, I'm basically telling people to think for themselves and to stand on their own 2 feet and to do their thing and to help others, to do no harm, to do right, to treat everybody with respect and the same, and with tolerance, and, you know, no bias, no bigotry, none of that stuff. I'm telling people to leave the woodpile higher than you found it. I mean, I'm not telling people to do things like the religions are telling them, you know. And so, do we grow? Yeah, but it's slow. You know, if I had a Christian base to this, if I had Christianized this school and this church, oh man, we'd be huge, and I'd have the resources to help even more people. But I can't go against my tenets. I can't go against the beliefs that the 9 principles of belief, you know, that everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. You know, everybody deserves the good in everything. Everybody does. And so as you walk your path, do no harm, do right, help people out, be a force for good, you know, be a problem solver, and don't harm others, and don't be discourteous or unthoughtful, but try to see if you can't help people lighten their load just a little bit. And if everybody's trying to help everybody lighten their load a little bit, everybody's load gets lighter. It's just such a beautiful thing. And that's why metaphysical humanism is the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet. Because we're not denigrating. We don't believe in sin. You're not a sinner. You know, you're not a bad person. You there's different states of awareness, and that's what we try to do, is help to improve, help people's levels of awareness grow and evolve. And at the same time, ours do as well, because everybody's there. We're all trying to grow and evolve. So anyway, and I appreciate the comments in the chat room. You know, Dr. Angie, your wood pile's very high. Dr. Kelly, thank you. And I know Dr. Edward had made a nice comment in there as well. And I appreciate those. And I hope that it's an example for everyone, just to keep going and keep doing. Don't let the world get you down. Look, and I say this stuff as much for me as I do for you, because I'm human too. And sometimes I get discouraged, I get down, and I'm thinking, gee, is this even working? Is it worth it and all that? And yes, it's worth it. I know it is. But sometimes I get discouraged too, because I'm human, and I have to correct my thinking. So don't let the world kill you. Don't let the world get you. And that's why the last time or before I was on a month or two ago, when I was talking about it doesn't matter, that's the big thing with me. I've discovered that there's so many things that just don't matter anymore. You know, I guess I had to get to 61 to figure that out. You know, the things that I used to think mattered, they just don't really matter anymore. Now, some things do matter, yes. But the things maybe that we think matter, they just don't matter anymore, you know. If you flub up on the radio program, that just doesn't matter. You know, if you're up in front of a group and you're speaking and you flub up, that just doesn't matter. You know, you make a mistake in an email and you're spelling, it just doesn't matter, you know. And so often we place so much importance on things that just don't matter that much anymore, you know. And so it's about trying to find a healthy balance, as Michael said earlier, trying to figure out, you know, what matters and what doesn't, you know, not to take ourselves too seriously. And that's my big thing, you know. I fall back into that all the time. I have to slap myself. Stop taking yourself so seriously, you know. Stop doing that. And that, because that gets what gets me in trouble, is to start taking myself too seriously.
There is something to be said. We as human beings, we enjoy, I think, a bit of drama. I think we love taking ourselves too seriously. We love the importance of it, right? The feeling of importance. That is, you know, even though it comes with negative emotions at times, without, you know, at a certain level of awareness, it does give incredible meaning to the moment and what's going on. This is all very, very important. Very important. You know, this is pivotal, what's going on right now. It's going to change everything after it. But when your awareness rises, you begin to see the broader spectrum of existence, of life, of what it is to be. And you see the cycles, you see the repetition, you see all throughout history, all throughout humanity, and I'm willing to wager and bet a lot on it, all throughout the universe. Mm-hmm. And that reminds you to just take this moment. Take your friends, take your family, take the joys in life, and live it. Enjoy it. It's not going to be here forever. We exist in this beautiful little time-space bubble.
Yeah.
That will never come again. It's this universe that we share, and it's unique to us. It's ours.
I've long known that I've had a real challenge in just enjoying the moment for now. For decades I thought about that. I need to enjoy the moment for now. And my problem is I want too much too fast. So it's always what I've done. And yes, it's a blessing and a curse, because it's that concept, that philosophy is responsible for why I've accomplished so much in my life and done the things that I've done. But it's also, it's a curse, because, you know, you're always looking for the next thing. You know, you need to enjoy the moment of now. I know we used to have a dog. Michael used to have a dog named Milo. Wonderful soul, collie mix. And I remember so many days he would just sit out in the yard in the sunshine, and he would just be. And I used to watch that dog and just envy the heck out of him, because he could just be. He could just be, you know, and that's, and I've learned, tried to learn that lesson to just be. And sometimes I do. I try to do that. And it helps. It's, you know, meditative and it helps. And, but that's what we need to do and realize that, folks, you know, we just need to realize our own potential and our own fulfillment and not worry too much about what other people think of us, not worry too much about what matters and what doesn't. Just do the best you can, do right, do no harm, walk your own path, have a good, healthy self-concept. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't compare yourself to others. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, a lot of times I hear people talk about their flaws. Wrong. You don't have flaws. That's part of the model. It's part of who you are. If you have things you want to improve on, fine. But you're perfect just the way you are. And so don't think in terms of flaws or things that are wrong with you. Don't think in those terms. You know, think about that you are a marvel. I mean, you won the lottery big time. We all did, just being here. I mean, just think about it. I often think about that. There's so many, you know, the bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, all those things that happened down, in, you know, through the centuries to kill off people, and yet our ancestors made it, and we made it. We hit the biggest lottery you can hit. And so let's not waste that. Let's not throw it away. Let's do something good with it. Let's help other people and be a part of this the solution, not part of the problem, you know. Anyway. That's what I've got to offer. Anything else we need to cover?
I'd say a lot more than that, but that's all that we're probably going to cover tonight in terms of, you know, you said that's all I've got to offer.
Oh, yeah, that's probably true. That's all we're going to cover tonight. I got a lot more to offer, but.
Well, and, you know, I'm just happy to see that, I'm happy to see this community every week. It's, you know, meaningful to me, and I'm happy that all of you join us. I'm happy to those that listen on the archives as well, and I'm going to be happy for those that listen in the future. So I hope that you all join us next week. We're going to be going back to a more traditional format. We'll always inject a little bit of spontaneity into things. I have a few ideas rolling around, but Dr. Hunter will be joining us, and I don't think we have a topic yet, but we'll think of something good.
Yep. Well, thanks, everyone. We appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate everything. Appreciate you being here, as Michael said. And, you know, tell other people about it, about the school, if you found benefit here, because if we can just keep sharing this education with folks to help them live happier, more stable, balanced lives, you know, it'll just spread, and the world will be a better place that way.
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead and wrap it up, son.
Well, I was... That's just the chair, not a spooky door in a haunted house, for the record. Or anything
else.
Haints.
The Haints are here.
But, you know, I just was going to say, it's always a pleasure, you know, kind of going back in time a little bit, having you on, and going... Have discussions like in the old days, and we're going to have you on again next month, I imagine. Probably the first Wednesday in April.
Yep.
Yeah, so look forward to that too. Well, and as always, looking forward to everybody joining us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.